Well, good morning. We are gathered once again in our Father's house, gathered here in the name of Jesus, which is kind of a big deal. The very beginning, at the beginning of our life, or the beginning of our spiritual walk, we were baptized and brought into the family of God. And so today, let us begin this service remembering that day and remembering that we meet here in his name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We come before you today as your people, gathered together as you call us to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to set aside anything else that might distract us from this time of being with you, this time of being with the body of Christ. Help us to listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Redeemed by his grace, let the house of the Lord sing praise. Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Holy, holy, holy. Good morning. My name is Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning, everybody. Oh. How's everyone? I know it's kind of rainy outside. Some days you might want to just sleep in when it's a nice day like this, just to cuddle up. But it's glad to see so many people here. All right, so as I was thinking about what I was going to talk to you about this week, because when I got the message on Wednesday, I always kind of read through and I pray about, okay, God, what do you want me to say? And in the second reading, I'm going to focus on the very last verse of the second sermon reading. And it said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And, you know, some of you guys, maybe you don't watch the news, which is probably good, because there's really not a lot of good things on the news. But it's often hard to not think about all the things you see on TV about storms or wars, or maybe in your own lives, maybe you have siblings and maybe you guys sometimes aren't the nicest to each other. or we have family members who maybe are going through tough times, maybe someone is sick, or maybe they've lost their job. There's a lot of things in this world because of sin that sometimes make you wonder, why, God? Why are these things happening? And the one thing that as I was reading this, and I want you to think about it again, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And as I look around the sanctuary and we're getting ready for vacation Bible school, I thought about a song that I learned, and I'm sure all of you maybe know this song, and I know all of you older children in this congregation know this song. So I'm going to ask you to sing this song along with me, because hopefully this will help you remind you that God has overcome the world. So here's the song. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 We're going to keep going. He's got the little bitty babies in his hands. He's got the itty bitty babies in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. One more verse. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. One more time. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 So always remember that whenever things maybe have you sad or troubled, that God has the whole world in his hands, and we can always pray to him and ask him to help us, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us to always remember that you have the whole world in your hands. Amen.
Thank you, Lewis. All right, my friends. So, the Bible verse today was so simple and straightforward and uncomplicated. I don't really know how we can preach a sermon on it. Did you guys get all that? This text, the first time I read it, I was like, that doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I understand all those words, but those words in that order just don't seem to come together, and it's just really, really hard. You know, Jesus says, in that day, the verse that comes right before this is Jesus talking about how Jesus is going to be gone for a little while, and then after a little while, the disciples are going to see him again, and the disciples were really, like, perplexed about this. And so Jesus is explaining that, and so in explaining and trying to make this clear, this was Jesus' response. He says, in that day you will no longer ask me anything, which is weird. I mean, he's God, right? Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Okay, now that sounds good. I'm good with this. This is good. I can get what I want. Good, good. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. The disciples have never asked Jesus for any. Okay. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Again, I get this. I get what I want. I'm happy. I'm good. Good. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language but tell you plainly about my Father. Well, why didn't he start with the plain talk in the beginning? Right? I mean, I understand the figuratively thing, right? You know, like, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. All these parables and things that Jesus told. But now all of a sudden, he's going to talk clearly. Interesting. In that day, you will ask in my name. Interesting. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. So it's not that he's going to go to the Father for us, because the Father himself loves us. The Father loves us because we have loved Jesus and have believed that Jesus came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. So clear as mud. And then Jesus' disciples answer, which again makes no sense. The disciples said, now you are speaking clearly. Okay. And without figures of speech, now we can see that you know all things. He knows all things, right? And he does not even need to have anyone ask him questions. But isn't that the time to ask questions if you have somebody who knows the answers, right? This makes us believe that you came from God. And then Jesus, okay, this makes sense. Jesus looks at him and says, oh, you believe. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered each to your own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And this is, of course, talking about like Gethsemane, right? When the disciples run away from Jesus as Jesus is being arrested, and Jesus is then left there alone. And Jesus says, but I am not alone because the Father is with me. I've told you these things. If the disciples understood what Jesus was talking about, it would make them feel terrible and guilty, the whole idea that they abandoned him. But he's telling them this so that you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay, this passage is frustrating. You know what I'm saying? Because here's what I want out of a Bible passage. I want to understand, and I want to know what to do. Okay? This is what I expect when I'm being taught something. I want to understand, and I want to know what to do. And Jesus is not giving me this. And that's frustrating. And you got to understand the context of this whole thing. Is that Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. I mean, he's about to be crucified. He's about to be arrested. I mean, like, within a short amount of time, like hours, minutes, Jesus is going to be arrested. The disciples are going to be scattered, and Jesus is going to be hung up on the cross. And it's all going to happen really fast. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's getting them ready for what's coming next. And he's not giving them answers, and he's not telling them what to do. You know what he's telling them? How this whole relationship is going to work. Jesus' goal here is not our goal, which is why we struggle to understand these words. And instead of trying to get the text to bend into shape so that I'm satisfied with the text, here's what we need to do. We need to conform our minds to what Jesus is trying to do. And then the text makes all kinds of sense. You ready for this? First, he starts out with, very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask. And what are the next words? In my name. Now, what I've always thought, I mean, when I was a kid, how do you end every prayer, right? In Jesus' name, amen. Hence, this is how we make sure we get what we want. You understand how this works? I mean, it's like licking a stamp and putting it on the envelope. You know it's going to get to God now because I said the magic words, right? And God says, I'll give you whatever you want as long as you're asking it in my name. Is that what God means when he says, in my name? The answer is, not really. The way it works is this. When you're working in somebody's name, think of like an ambassador, okay? You're going to be the ambassador to Europe. Europe. That wouldn't make any sense. How about, like, England? United Kingdom. You're going to be the ambassador to the United Kingdom. And so your job is to go to the United Kingdom and do whatever seems best for you. No. Who do you work for? Not even just the United States. Who do you work for? The president. Your job is to represent your boss to the people, to the leaders of the country that you're assigned to. Your job is not to share your own ideas. Your job is not to do what you think is right. Your job is to bend yourself and all of your intellectual abilities, your communication skills, your people knowledge, all of the skills that you have acquired throughout your life, and to employ those abilities to work out the will of the one who sent you. That's your job. Your job is to be the stand-in for the president. Okay? And the reason this is important is because there's got to be a plan for all of the interactions with all the other countries. And if we got a whole bunch of ambassadors out there just doing what they think is best, how do you think this is going to work with the relationships from the United States? And are we going to be able to keep all the promises that are being made by all these ambassadors in all these places? Well, no, you have to have the one who is in charge. And he's the one that has the agenda and calls the shots. Well, in this case, it's even more so. Because the one who sent us, right? The one who called us to be his, the one who brought us into his family, the one who sends us into the world, the one who is our leader, is the one who redeemed us, the one who saved us. And how is it that we approach God? Well, that's kind of a trick question, right? How is it that God approached us? You know what I mean? When we were lost, when we were unredeemed, when we were, you know, in the world and had no purpose, had no meaning, didn't understand why it was we were alive and what it was we were supposed to be living for, our God came to us. And when we were lost in our sin, our God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that he made us his own at great price to himself, and that now we worship him and love him, and we worship him with our lives. But at the same time, how do we know how to worship him with our lives? Is by obeying the things that he tells us to do. And we live this life in his name, which means for him, representing him, conforming our life and all the gifts that God has given us, the things that we own, all of our mental abilities, all of our relationships, everything about us conforms to him, and we live for him. And when we are conforming our lives to God, living out his purposes, doing his work, focused on all that he has given us, are we going to ignore our children if we're living with our lives conformed to God? Well, no, because God gave us those children to raise for him. Are we not going to take care of our parents? Well, no, because the parents are the people that God has given us to raise us and then for us to honor. And so we live for him by taking care of them. How about the people downtown that have been like affected by the tornadoes, right? Because we're working for God, we're too busy to work for them or to help them out. Well, wait a minute, that's not how this works, right? When we see somebody who is without a house, what do? Well, we get involved. We love that person where they are. If they have no clothes, what do? We give them clothes. I mean, you see how this works? Is that we are living our lives conformed to the will of God in our lives. So that when we get to a decision in life, when we say, how shall we move forward? What is it that we are going to do? What we don't do is think, well, what do I want? That would be a very bad ambassador. What we do is we say, what would God want me to do in this circumstance? How can I live my life in worship to him and conform myself to his will and bring him glory and live out my purpose in his kingdom? You see how this works? So now, if we look at this verse a little bit differently now, all right? Instead of thinking in terms of I want to understand and I want to know and I want it to, and me trying to impose my expectations on the text, how about if I conform my mind and my heart to what God is trying to do here? All right? So let's read it again. And till now you have not asked for anything in my name. Well, did the disciples have a prayer at this yet? They still didn't understand why Jesus was there. They were still looking for some sort of a political savior. They were still hoping to be like the right-hand guys to the king that was going to take over Israel and kick out the Romans, right? So were they able to be good ambassadors at this point? No. So it makes sense, right? Until he goes, ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Now, wait a minute. The way I was reading it the first time was, I get what I want and I'm happy. Is that what Jesus is trying to say here? No, he's saying when your mind and your heart is conformed to God, when you are living your life for his mission and his purpose in this world, ask for what you want. Ask for what you need to do his work in this world, and you will receive, and will it bring you joy? Will it necessarily be the most happy thing in your life? Not necessarily. I mean, remember, there's a lot of people who died for the faith. They prayed to have an opportunity to share Christ, and God gave them the opportunity to witness to a judge who then condemned them to die. Did God give them everything they needed to do his work in this world? Was their joy complete? Was it happy? You see the difference? I mean, happy is kind of like one of our things. It's like whether or not this is good works out for me. Joy is what we receive when we are working in God's kingdom, doing his work, and having that fulfillment of knowing that we are living our life out in a way that brings him glory. And so when we receive from the Lord everything that we need to do his work in the world, it brings us joy. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. Basically, what he's saying here is you're not ready yet, but soon you will be. And the big soon you will be is all about Pentecost. The day when everything finally came together for the disciples, right? Up until that point, they were still hiding in the upper room. They were still living in fear. They still didn't understand. They didn't get the whole thing. I mean, they knew Jesus was alive, but then he like ascended into heaven. And the disciples are like, okay, now what? Right? And Jesus says, well, hang out here. And they're like, well, okay, we can do that. But we don't really understand what's all going on here yet. Until the Holy Spirit came upon them in Pentecost, and all of a sudden the veil was lifted and they finally understood all the things that Jesus had been trying to tell them and understood why it was that he died and why it was that he rose and why it was that he is now in heaven and what he is doing and what the big plan is for them. And so he goes, in that day, now you're going to actually ask in my name. Because now you're going to understand what it is that I am all about. And he says, I'm not saying that I will go to the Father on your behalf. It's not like we have to always go through Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross was make us have peace with God. So we have peace with the Father as well. And we are able to go directly to the Father with our prayers. We do not have to go through Jesus. We are... Our relationship has been reconciled with the Father. And then Jesus says, now you are, and then the disciples. Now the disciples' words make sense too. It's not, now you're speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and we don't even have to ask you questions. And that's the one that really got me for the longest time. But here's what this is about. When we understand that our relationship with God is based on trust, not all on knowledge. You understand? The reason we follow God is because we know his heart. We know what he has done for us. We know that he loves us. We know that in the end, we will spend eternity with him. Because we have that utter security of knowing what Jesus has done for us and how the story ends, we can have peace, even though we don't know all the details in between. The world is going to be crazy. It was for the disciples. Only one of them died a natural death. The rest of them were murdered. You understand? I mean, this Jesus wasn't telling them their life was going to be easy. What he told them is, you will have peace. And why will they have peace? Let's go to that end, right? It says, he talks to them about the time that they leave him alone in Gethsemane. Right? Well, that's not a very peaceful thing to tell them. You're going to fail me. I'm telling you this so you can have peace. But I think what he was trying to tell them in that story is, yeah, you're going to fail me and I'm going to be left alone, but am I alone? Who's with me? You guys are about to go out into the world and it's going to be crazy out there. And you're going to live your life for God. You're going to submit your life to God. You're going to conform your life to his will and his direction and his word and all of that, right? And it's a radical thing to do. I mean, you're going to make decisions that other people aren't making. You're going to put money in places you wouldn't put money. You're going to put time in places you wouldn't put time. People are going to call you crazy. People are going to get mad at you for saying the things you're going to say. And you may find yourself alone. But are you ever alone? Does that bring you peace? The confidence of knowing that our God is certain that he will never leave us or forsake us, and at the last day we will be with him forever. That our sins, though horrible, will not be held against us, because Jesus died for us and rose for us. And he sacrificed himself that we might be saved. And then he sends us out in the world to do that very same thing, that we would sacrifice ourselves, that more people can be saved. That we would work and work and give and strive and struggle and do strange things to conform our lives to God's desires, which is that each would be saved. And this is what this text is about. This text is about us submitting ourselves to Jesus. That we ask in his name. That we live in his name. That we speak in his name. That everything about us is about him. And this is his will for us. That we would be united with him in his work in this world. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this incredible love that you have for us, that you could have done all this without us. You didn't need us, but you wanted us, Lord. You loved us so much that you want us to be a part of this plan, and Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, conform ourselves to you, bend our lives around you, make decisions that are pleasing in your sight, do what is necessary, Lord, so that you can be glorified through everything we do. Lord, all the times we fall short, we just pray that you would continue to forgive us and renew us and bring us back into your presence so that we can once again, Lord, live as your people. Thank you for your incredible mercy, grace, and love. All this we pray in your name. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. We confess, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to call the Leiberger family forward. Now, Matt and Samantha and their kids have been a part of our church for how many years now? Five, six? It's been a bunch. It's been a while. And Matt is a pastor, and he came to us after he finished at one church and while God was preparing him for the next one. But the time has come. And Matt, your church is, I can't remember the name. West Springs Church. And so we wanted to bring them forward and have a prayer with them and just thank God for the time that they were able to be here with us and just ask that God would continue to bless them as they go into the future. Your job's going to be an ambassador. You're working for the boss, you know. And I just encourage you that as you do, just keep pointing everybody to him because we got nothing to offer of our own. All we got is Jesus, right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the Leiberger family, Lord, and for all the gifts and abilities that you've given Matt. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give him wisdom and strength and just, Lord, take him by the hand and guide him, Lord, put words in his mouth so that he can be a blessing to the people that he serves, Lord, the people that you love. Lord, I pray that you would just make, Lord, whatever work you give him to do fruitful. Bless him, Lord, so that he can be a blessing, Lord, to his people, to your people. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible love that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the entire family, Lord, as they continue to just live out their faith and their life in you. Thank you, Lord, for loving each and every one of us, Lord, but especially the Leibergers today. In your name we pray. Amen. You got it. Oh, my goodness. We're going to miss you guys.
Please stand as we continue with the prayers of the church. Heavenly Father, we come before you today asking for your guidance. Lead us by your Holy Spirit to help us to know your will. And in knowing your will, help us to do your will. We ask that through us, your light shine forth to those people who are walking in darkness, who do not know of your love and your goodness. Help us to be consistent ambassadors, sharing forth your message that you give us to share. Lord, as well, we come before you today with many people in our community in need of health and healing. Today, we remember and pray for Ed Ployer, for Jeff Wunderlich, for Sandra Canada, for Randy Veland, for Betty Hogg, and for Courtney Weems. We pray that you would guide any who are giving them care and restore them to health. Lord, we also give thanks for the birth of Ellie Mae Weems and pray that she continues to grow in strength. And Lord, we pray for all those who are mourning the loss of Dana Vanderbilt. We thank you for the life that you give her. And pray that you continue to be with all those who feel the loss of her presence. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Save me, there. Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, his gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
God is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done.
Please be seated. All right, well, we have no Sunday school and Bible class today because we have Memorial Day weekend. But I do want to, at this time, invite Jill Tendler up for an announcement from Operation Barnabas.
It's great to see all of you. This is going to be a little bit different because today I'm not begging for Barnabas bucks, although if you throw something in the bucket out at the Connection Center, I won't slap your hand. So, having said that, I'm going to take you back to the end of December when I received a call. Oh, for everybody who doesn't know, Operation Barnabas is our military ministry here. So, back in December, I got a call from our school principal, Mrs. Dennis, and she said to me, "Can you help me think of a way to get are students involved in the military ministry. And I said, oh, let me pray about that a second and count the ways. So I made a call to our liaison at the Eureka Elks Lodge who does the Welcome Home Kit. His name is Rick Hinkson. So we put our heads together, and he said, how about if we do like a little goodie bag that I could take when I present the Welcome Home Kit? And that comes when the veterans, the homeless veterans, are given a place to live, but they have nothing. We've talked about that, and you have supported that generously in the past. But he said, you know, well, I won't tell you what he said yet because he got to say it to our whole student body. So Megan thought that was a great idea, and they got to work on it. And she said, let us make little goodie bags, and I'll call you when we're ready. Well, 2 months later, because if you remember, we had blizzards, and we missed a lot of school. And so it wasn't until like the 1st of March that she called and said, could you and your friend from the Elks come over for a chapel service, and we'll give you our bags. So he was happy to do that. Here we come, and I thought we were going to have these little lunch bags with a few maybe candy bars and Slim Jims. Oh, no. In true St. Mark's fashion, we had gift bags with the St. Mark's School emblem on the front full of treats, cookies and crackers, and you know what I'm talking about. But better than that, every one of them had a little note in there from a student, something like, dear veteran, thank you for keeping me safe and free. I love you, signed Susie Q, whomever. And so they were all full of these, and we had 35, almost 40 bags. So we talked a little bit to the students, and Rick explained to them what this Welcome Home Kit is and how some veterans really need a hand up and how there's just enough money for necessities. They also have a food pantry for the veterans. So these treats will be a big deal to the vets. And the students were so excited. They helped him carry those bags out to his truck. And then they said, we want to do this again. And I said, okay, I'm in. So then the Elks invited me to come down and talk to them about this thing. And Rick said, the veterans, I have given away every one of the bags. That's how many Welcome Home Kits they do, 45 since March. And he said, all of the vets appreciated, but I have to tell you, there was one elderly vet who sat down and looked in his gift bag, and the first thing he did, before he even knew what was in there, was read the note from a little girl. And he looked up at me, and he had tears streaming down his face. And he said, when you see Susie Q, would you tell her thank you? Tell her how much this means that she's praying for me and did this for me. So anytime you think that it might be fluffy or it doesn't really matter, it does. And every one of our vets, especially the ones who need the hand up, deserve this. So I'm grateful to Mrs. Dennis for reaching out. I'm grateful for the support that you all give us, our military ministry, and I know that most of these were all donations. There wasn't money. The kids, students, hit up their families and got enough to fill all of these bags, and it's because God moved your hearts to that generosity yet again. You always pull through for us, and I'm grateful for that. And this is what I said to the Elks, and I'll say this to you as you support our school. You not only make a big difference to these veterans, but now by teaming up with our school, you are instrumental in raising servants for the Lord, getting them excited about service and leadership. And that's part of my gratitude in my heart for that. So thank you. I thought you'd want to hear a fun story without having to pay for it this time. Thanks. And it's all God. Not us, not the Elks, not me. All God.
All right. Thank you, Jill. The one last announcement that I have is I'm going to be hosting a barbecue for high school age youth and their families. And so there's been an announcement kind of on the screen and in our bulletin. And so I'd like to hear, though, from all the families. The point of it is to try to share about what I'm going to be doing leading the youth program and also get feedback of kind of your thoughts of what you'd like to see happen. And so if I have not yet heard from you, whether you're able to make it or not, I really do want to hear from you. So please let me know that. Otherwise, I hope you can go out and enjoy this weekend despite the rain. God's blessings to you, and I pray you have a blessed week.